cherubim, more glorious than the seraphim. Lift praises, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. O respond ye souls in endless rest, ye patriarchs and prophets blessed. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
You stay.
Stay. Oh, friends, in gladness let us sing. Supernal anthems echoing. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The Father, God, the Son,
and God, the Spirit,
three in one. Hallelujah.
Please be seated. Children, when you stand, I have some things I'm going to show you.
It's close.
This is a cross that is kind of an altar cross, and this is an angel. And I brought these to preschool last week, and through Jesus, you can live forever, which is what the angel represents, someone, a heavenly being that lives forever. And I've got a song that talks about that. It's called, I Am the Resurrection. So they're words of Jesus. Jesus saying, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will never die. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live a new life. And there's clapping that goes with it. So you, when I say clap, you clap. And when I'll teach you the song, okay? I am the resurrection, clap, and the life. Clap, 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 clap. He who believes in me will never die. Clap, clap, clap. I am the resurrection, clap, and the life. Clap, 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 clap. He who believes in me will live a new life. Now, that's we won't do that one. But I like enthusiasm. Then the next part is a verse that says, keep in mind the things that I have said, and then you do what I call an air trumpet. So you go, bum-ba-dum. Okay, can you try that? Try it out. Bum-ba-dum. Keep in mind the things that I have said. Bum-ba-dum. Remember me and the breaking of the bread. Bum-ba-dum. If you, yes, you believe I do, then you shall live. 2, 3, 4. I am the resurrection, clap, and the life. Clap, 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 clap. He who believes in me will never die. Clap, clap, clap. I am the resurrection, in the life. Clap, 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 clap. He who believes in me will live anew. Okay, one more time. I think you should help them, okay? Okay, you guys tap along with them. It's pretty easy, but just follow the children. They've got it out down pat already. Okay, remember the trumpets? We'll do I Am the Resurrection twice, and then we'll do the trumpets, and then back to the resurrection, and we'll stop there. And you can sing with me too. I am the resurrection, clap, and the life. Clap, 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 clap. He who believes in me will never die. Clap, clap, clap. I am the resurrection, clap, and the life. Clap, 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 clap. He who believes in me will live a new life. Get your trumpets ready. Keep in mind the things that I have said. Bum-ba-dum. Remember me and the breaking of the bread. Bum, ba-dum. If you, yes, you believe I do, then you shall live. 2, 3, 4. I am the resurrection, clap, and the life. Clap, 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 clap. He who believes in me, never die. Clap, clap, clap. I am the resurrection, clap, and the life. Clap, 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 clap. He who believes in me will live a new life. Good job, everybody. All right. Thank you. And I also have a All Saints Sunday. All Saints means that these are, a lot of times we remember people who have died, and this is full of children from all over the world, meaning that what Jesus has to offer is for everybody, an unconditional love. And thank you for helping me out and singing that song. You guys can go back to your seats or wherever you need. Or to Sunday school. You go to Sunday school, right?
All the children of the world, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world.
Please stand for the greeting. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you have knit your people together in one communion in the mystical body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Grant us grace to follow your blessed saints in lives of faith and commitment, and to know the inexpressible joys you have prepared for those who love you. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
A reading from Daniel. In the first year of King Belshazzar of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head as he lay in bed. Then he wrote down the dream. I, Daniel, saw in my vision by night the four winds of heaven stirring up the great sea, and four great beasts came up out of the sea, different from one another. As for me, Daniel, my spirit was troubled within me, and the visions of my head terrified me. I approached one of the attendants to ask him the truth concerning all of this. So he said that he would disclose to me the interpretation of the matter. As for these four great beasts, four kings shall arise out of the earth, but the holy ones of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, forever, and ever. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 149 responsively. Hallelujah. Sing to the Lord a new song, God's praise in the assembly of the faithful.
Let Israel
Let them praise their Maker's name with dancing. Let them sing praise with tambourine and harp.
The Lord takes pleasure in people, and departs the poor with victory.
Let the faithful rejoice in triumph. Let them sing for joy on their beds.
Let the grace of God be in their
throat,
and to wreak
vengeance on the nations and nourishment and punishment on the peoples. To inflict on them the judgment decreed. This is the glory for all God's faithful ones. Hallelujah.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
A reading from Ephesians. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of Him who accomplishes all things, according to the counsel and will, so that we, who were the first to set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of His glory. In Him you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in Him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people, to the praise of His glory. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, and for this reason I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you as a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power. God put his power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And for he has put all things under his feet and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Word of God, word of life.
Then Jesus looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you and revile you and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich now, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets. But I say to you that listen, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. And if anyone strikes you on a cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. The Gospel of the Lord. May be seated. Jennifer, if she gets to be too much, just take her out. Okay, that's fine. We don't want to torture her too much. My wife's in France with my daughter, and I'm dog-sitting, and actually Jennifer's has an extension of that here. He's a good dog in church all the time, except for when Debbie's not holding her and she's trying to get my attention. Last week's lesson, we had Jesus say, those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. And then that was the summary. It all began with Jesus telling a parable, and the parable was that of a Pharisee or religious leader who was boasting, exalting himself, saying how he's better than other sinners that were around him, and particularly this tax collector who he was pointing out specifically, and how he gave a tithe of all his income and fasted twice a week. He was definitely boasting. He was the one Jesus was referring to as about exalting himself. However, the tax collector was the opposite of that. The tax collector was one who didn't even look up to heaven but beat his breast, and he said, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus, in making that parable, telling that parable, and then giving that lesson, is really putting down religious leaders. There's no doubt about it. He has a running confrontation with these religious leaders. And that's the precursor to our lesson for today. Jesus' confrontation with religious leaders in the 6th chapter. So that was the 18th chapter. This is the 6th chapter today. So 12 chapters earlier. It will be just a few chapters later where the religious leaders are so disgusted with Jesus that they will be the driving force behind his crucifixion. So in that first chapter of the 6th chapter where the religious leaders are confronted, Jesus' disciples are picking grain. And the religious leaders are criticizing Jesus' disciples for working on the Sabbath. For them, Sabbath meant don't work. And they had very strict laws onto what that meant to not work. Picking grain, it was not one of them. You can't pick grain on the Sabbath. That would be working, disobeying the Sabbath rules. But then Jesus points out, but King David and his men ate the bread of the presence when his men were hungry. And that was a eating that was unlawful. And so he broke that law because his men were hungry. We should be able to break this law and pick grain on the Sabbath because his disciples are hungry. But that wasn't the worst one. The worst one comes next. Because Jesus is in the synagogue on the Sabbath, and there's a man there with a withered hand. And it's almost as if the religious leaders are going to bait Jesus and find out if he's going to do what's unlawful, which was be to heal on the Sabbath. Now, it would be okay to keep somebody from dying, but you couldn't just heal him when you could heal him some other day. So the fact was, they didn't want him to be healing on the Sabbath when he could have done it some other time. But then Jesus makes this rhetorical statement, is it right to do good on the Sabbath or evil? To save life or to lose it? And they don't answer that question. But Jesus asks the man with the withered hand to hold out his hand, and he heals the withered hand. And Luke reports that the religious leaders were furious at Jesus. That's the word that is used, furious. After that, and again, this is the 6th chapter, very beginning of this conflict with the religious leaders, Jesus goes up a mountain and he prays all night long. Now, I'm just in awe of that. I can't even imagine praying more than 20 minutes to half an hour. And I've run out of things to talk about. But Jesus prays all night long. So I'm thinking he's listening as much as he's saying something. But when he comes down the mountain, that's when he takes all the disciples that are there and he appoints 12 to be apostles, according to Luke's gospel again. And then he gives this sermon, which is our lesson for today. It's called the Sermon on the Plain, not to be confused with the Sermon on the Mount. It's the Sermon on the Plain, and it's a little bit different. For example, Sermon on the Plain begins, blessed are you poor. He doesn't say poor in spirit. He says, blessed are you poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who weep, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you who are hungry, for you shall be filled. And blessed are you if men speak evil against you, insult you, call you all manners of evil falsely for my name's sake. For great is your reward in heaven. For so, and this is the word is used, their ancestors. He's not saying my ancestors or our ancestors. He says their ancestors did it to the prophets. And then he has a list of woes. Again, trying to make this distinction that this is a conflict going on here and there's good things happening and bad things happening. The bad things are, woe to you who are rich now. For you've already received your comfort. Woe to you who are filled now, for you shall become hungry. Woe to you that are happy now, for you shall weep and mourn. And woe to you when everybody speaks well of you, for so their ancestors did to the false prophets. All people speak well of you. Don't you want to be popular? Don't you want people to speak well of you? Isn't it a bummer to have someone speak negatively about you? It's so sad. But at the same time, inevitable in Jesus' understanding of life. Then comes the actual substance of my sermon today. And that is what Jesus says next. Jesus says, for those of you who are willing to listen, I say to you, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. And pray for those who abuse you. Now that sounds like four things. I think it's one thing with three parts. Love your enemies means bless those who hate you, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and be someone who encourages people who would abuse you. So let's take those one at a time. First of all, love your enemies means do good to those who hate you. I was thinking about who hates me. And I couldn't think of anybody in particular. But I do know there are people that hate my politics. And particularly in my own family. My brother and I are like in opposite ends when it comes to the political spectrum. And we basically don't talk about it. But we do know where each of us are at. And I can say we love each other as brothers. We hate each other's politics. And my mom is on my brother's side. And my mom is on my brother's side, but my mom lives with us. And when she's listening to the news, I say, can you turn it down a little bit so I don't have to listen to it? But my mom, we do good. I do good. According to this, I'm doing good, even though there's this hate within the political spectrum that's in my family. And I think it's a good thing. I think it shows that caring can overcome that hatred. That doing good can overcome the hatred. Secondly, it says, bless those who curse you. This is a verbal thing. Bless those who curse you. Your enemies are those who curse you, and you are to bless them. My mom tells a story about when she was a young married couple, first married, and she went looking for a place for her, my father and her to live with my grandmother. And they were walking around and they saw this sign that said, for rent. So they went up to the door and they knocked on the door and they rang the doorbell and nobody answered and they tried the door and it was open, so they went in. And all of a sudden, this owner of this house started cursing them, yelling at them, screaming at them, what right do you have to come into my house without me letting you in? And my grandmother said, you know, Jesus would really want us to get along. Stopped her right in her tracks. That anger just dissipated because she was being blessed in the cursing. Hard to do, but I think it's possible. Finally, it says that we are not only to, we are to pray for those who abuse us. Now again, I have a hard time thinking of people who abuse me, but if you don't use the word us, but you, it's easier if you think of the broad understanding of you. In other words, there are people who abuse other people. And if I identify with those people, then I'm also participating in that abuse, or being the subject of that abuse. That's particularly true on our borders, where there are people who are refugees, people who are immigrants, people who are seeking asylum, who are truly being abused by our political leaders. And so I pray for our political leaders. I pray for our president. I pray for our vice president. I pray for our congressional, our military, and judicial leaders. I pray for our governor. I pray for two mayors. And I've been praying for them for about 5 years. So So two administrations. And when I pray for them, I slip right into the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So perfect in a political vein to be praying for our elected leaders in connection with the Lord's Prayer. Because the Lord's Prayer has much to say about God's will being done. And quite obviously, we don't have the power to have that happen, but I think that's why we pray for it. We pray that something will happen that we don't have power over. Our elected leaders do have power over those things. And so we pray for them that God's kingdom will come in what they have to say and what they're promoting in our lives. May God bless us to love our enemies. Jesus had enemies. We have enemies. We have people, we can't help but have enemies because we are doing the things that God asks us to do, and there's a conflict going on in this world that we need to win for love and for caring and for justice. Amen.
Set your hope on Christ.
Thanks be to God.